from the Gospel according to Mark. In Mark chapter 6. Verse 14, when Jesus had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man. I hope you're listening. Listen, Jesus is speaking. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can. It is not possible for it to defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. I want you to notice the significance of the evil thoughts with filth first, and filthy actions. You see, not murders and lyings first, not violence, but filth. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Higher up in the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ had said this. Verse 6. Well said Isaiah, Isaiah in our translation, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, He was talking to hypocrites. He doesn't call everybody a hypocrite, but he was there. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, beloved, I want to ask you a question. How far from Jesus is your heart? It is not my purpose tonight to try and discover depths of hypocrisy. That is not our purpose. We haven't come together this weekend for that. But, beloved, this was one of the great crying tragedies, that people's hearts are far away from Jesus. Is there any distance? How far or how near is your heart from or to Jesus? You know, our brother Norman this afternoon, he drew our attention by the power of the Spirit to certain truths that have long been overlooked, though not in our midst, thank God, about what the true conversion state, what the Lord Jesus regarded as true conversion. And you see, this was the great trouble with people when they were on earth, when Jesus was on earth too. They themselves were very near to him. Many of them very, very close to Jesus. But their hearts were so, so far away. I don't think for one moment that they were deliberately far away. I don't think that they were like the Pharisees, the hypocrites. Their hearts were deliberately far away. But there were many people who were very close to Jesus. But their hearts were away, away, away. Let's come back to that man Peter that our brother used this afternoon in that precious word to our hearts. You take this man Peter, the first of the apostles, named first of all the apostles of the Lamb on this earth. Peter was named first. You will remember. You will find it if you look back into the preceding chapters in Mark's Gospel. That he called all his disciples to him, and of them he chose 12. The first, Cephas. The first Peter, he called him to him. And yet how far away from Jesus was Peter's heart. He didn't realize it. He was a wonderful man. This man, it seems, he was the one that was going to be like Jesus of all people on the earth. For you remember that Jesus, that great son of David, according to the Lord again in Isaiah 55, that God said he would give David as a leader and a commander of the people. And that great David came on the earth, this wonderful leader and commander. And of all the apostles, Peter was likest to him. What a leader! What a commander! You remember, he commanded them to be baptized. You'll find it there. You'll never find it written of any of the other apostles. This great man. And yet his heart was far, far away. Oh, he said he would lay down his life for Jesus. He said that if everybody denied him, he never denied him. Apparently he was the only one that did. So far was his heart away from Jesus. He thought he was very close. Why? Look at his qualities. When he sees Jesus walking on the waters, and he recognizes at last that it is Jesus, here come his great qualities of leadership and his tremendous courage. He says, if it be thou, bid me come out of thee on the water. Nobody else in the boat said it. Nobody else had the courage. Nobody else had these qualities of leadership. None of them. And Jesus said, come. And he came. He walked on the waters. And then we know what happened. He saw other things, the waves boisterous. And down he went. Lord, save me, he said. Oh, Jesus said, oh, thou little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? He hadn't got a heart like Jesus. He hadn't got a heart like Jesus. And yet Jesus wanted him to be the great crusader of faith. You'll find it in the Acts of the Apostles. You'll find it in the third chapter. You'll find it in the second chapter. It's Peter that's up on his feet. It's Peter that's answering this great question, what meaneth this? It's him in chapter 3 that's moving. Peter fastens his eye on this man. And he moves in this great realm. He's got these great qualities of leadership. And yet there are many people with great qualities of leadership. They seem marked out to do something for God. They even seem the elect or the chosen of God. And yet when it comes to it, their hearts are very far away from Jesus' heart. Peter honored him with his lips. He said, Lord, why? Can't I follow thee now? You want to stop me following you now? You may not have read it like that before. It pays you sometimes to read the Bible differently. Always remember that tone and inflection can only be given you by understanding in the Spirit, not by splashes of ink on a page. Can't I follow you now? I said, look, let me come all this way. And now you're saying, I can't. I've got a heart. I'll go through that. He hadn't. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me, Peter. So far, but he'd honored him with his lips. If ever a man had, he said, I'll lay down my life for your sake, Lord. Lay it down for you. For his heart was far, far away. Or let us take those other two great men, James and John, seeing that these were the three great people. Cephas, James and John, you will remember, are spoken of as by Paul in the Galatian letter and the second chapter as being the pillars of the church. These are the two great men, and this time we'll look into Luke's Gospel. And you remember in that ninth chapter, in 51, it came to pass that the time was come that Jesus should be received up, go back to his Father, and he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. To go back and be received up. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, here they are, honoring him with their lips, and with the best intentions in their hearts. Wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and disconsume them. Elijah did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. I want to remind you that heart and spirit are very closely connected in Scripture. We shall probably go there and find the great connection before we're through. Their hearts were far from him. They followed him in body. They paid lip service to him, not merely intending it to be lip service. With all that they are and all that they were, they left their jobs, and if you like, they'd gone out to live by faith. But nobody lives by faith who lives on Jesus. That's not living by faith. Did you think it was? What did you think it was when you were living on Jesus? You weren't living on faith. You're living on God. It's pretty safe if you do that. You don't have your faith exercised much. At least I don't seem to. Well, I can only tell you the truth. I must be honest. My bread, sure, my water's always given me. I get butter and jam and honey sometimes as well. Most times, actually, if I want it. This talk about living by faith. They were living by faith, apparently. They were following Jesus. They left all and followed him. And he said, your heart's a long way from it. My heart isn't to destroy these Samaritans. My heart isn't in there. You've got a different heart from me. I said earlier that this is what Jesus says. He says he doesn't quench the smoking flax. He doesn't bruise the broken reed. He doesn't do that. These people hadn't got a clue. They didn't understand. You find them again in this same chapter. Look at verse 49, a little higher up. John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. We forbade him because he followed not with us. Jesus said, my heart's not in that. See, their hearts were miles away from him. And yet they were following him, listening to him. They did not know what Jesus was like on the inside. They did not know his feelings for men. They didn't know the compassions that welled up inside him. They didn't know that lovely, soft, Lamb spirit there, anointed by the even more gentle dove that had alighted upon him in Jordan. They didn't understand. Fire coming down on mountains, altars burning everything up, great things. That's right, that's the spirit they were of. Jesus said, that's not my spirit. That's not my spirit. There's a different spirit moving and breathing through this great new covenant, beloved. There's a different heart from that which Elijah had. There's a different spirit from that which Moses had. There's a glorious newness about Jesus. And these men hadn't got the foggiest notion of what it was all about. Let's go back to the 7th chapter of Mark. In that same chapter, where it talks about the heart being far from Jesus, you find in verse 24, there's a woman comes. She'd come from Tyre and Sidon. She had a daughter with an unclean spirit. She'd heard of him in verse 25. She came and fell at Jesus' feet. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. In another gospel it will tell you that these disciples said, Lord, send her away. That's what you'll find if you read in Matthew's gospel. Lord, send her away. She's got no right here anyway. Doesn't belong to us. It's the same old spirit. He didn't follow with us casting out devils. She doesn't belong to us. She has no rights here. Oh, the selfish, mean, narrow, hard, unfeeling, and even unconscious of its unfeelingness, this old heart inside these people who thought they had everything so pat according to the letter of the word, and hadn't got a clue about the loving heart from whence came forth these precious words meant to be clothing for the heart that beat in God. They never understood. Or take again, and we've considered this before, some of us, when we've been together. You take Mary in John chapter 11. Let's go again. Perhaps you with me love to read the story. I suppose I talk about it and move in it so much because I love it. And in the great 11th chapter of John's Gospel, which is the story of the raising of Lazarus, you find that these two sisters sent for Lazarus, for Jesus, when Lazarus was sick, nigh to death, and he didn't come. Jesus didn't come. Jesus deliberately let him die. You see? And then he came. And when he came, Martha left her sister, Mary, and in verse 20, she went to Jesus. But Mary sat still in the house. You see? And when at last she did come, in verse 32, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. Mary's heart, although she sat at his feet, Mary's heart, although she drank in his words, was far, far away from him. Far away. And he wept over it. Broke his heart. Her heart was far away. And in the end it was her sister Martha's faith upon which Jesus acted to raise Lazarus. Never Mary's. Right away from Jesus. She sat inside. In all her tenderness and sweetness, she was wrapped up in her sentiments. Peter, in all his bold leadership, was wrapped up in his lack of faith and doubts. That's right. James and John, wrapped up in their utter selfishness. He's not following with us. and their hardness. John, the great apostle of love, as he later became, of course, praise God, hearts right away. Isn't this the tragedy? Isn't it the tragedy? I want to say, beloved, and this is why we read later and lower down in that same seventh chapter of Mark, that this is the precise reason why so many people are just about tied up, tormented, devastated, riven by the devil. For we read that it's this heart that's really the trouble. For this heart fountains out into the personality evil thoughts. It is in this realm, beloved, it's in the realm of the mind that people are defeated. And they will say their mind, but they ought to say my mind. For Jesus says your mind is in your heart and not in your head. And if you're being troubled in this great mental realm where the devil is invading people, it's because your heart is wrong. Jesus said that it's out of the heart that thoughts come. Did he or did he not? You can't say your heart's right if your thoughts are wrong. You can't say my heart's right, but I seem to keep getting these things in my mind. For Jesus has with the unerring certainty of our Maker said that it's in the heart. And he says it's as a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. Do you believe it? And this is why, beloved, if you've got trouble mentally, you need a new heart. You don't need a deliverance expert. You don't want to go for healing. You want to go for a new heart. You see, here is where it all lies. Out of the heart, he said. And does a person ever go in for deceit unless he think it first? Does a person ever commit adultery before he's thought it first? Or fornication before he's thought it first? Does he ever steal without first he has thought it? And Jesus said it all comes out of the heart. All a lot of it. Do you believe it? Mend your ways then, and let it be known that God is moving in this realm. He knows that the trouble lies in the heart. He knows that the trouble is irremedial. He knows there is no balm in Gilead or anywhere to meet this. There is no salving of the mind. The only thing God can do with it is give you a new one. That's the only thing He can do with it. If you've become an inveterate liar, so now that deceitfulness is your nature, then all the more in that you do it without thinking, you need a new heart. It's the defined habit of your inward spiritual life, as inescapable as the judgment day. You cannot throw it off. You cannot mend it. You cannot amend it. You cannot help it. God help you. And the only way He can help you is by taking it right out of you and giving you a fresh start. That's the only way God knows to do it. Amen. I say this to you, beloved. because Jesus loves you. I say it to you because one meets this thing over and over again. They say, oh yes, I'm born again, but it's my mind. Well, seeing that this is a spiritual birth, beloved, unless there's a renewing in the spirit of the mind, what use is it? If I claim to be born again and still say I have a filthy heart, like some teaching would have us accept, that I'm born again and then I've got to get a clean heart after it, what hope have I got? If I say I'm born again, and these great habits of the thought life that lead to vexatious and filthy imaginings, if these are still within, and I'm supposed to believe I'm born from above of my sweet mother, New Jerusalem, then what kind of a place is heaven? And who wants to live in New Jerusalem anyway, if that's what it is? And this, beloved, is what God would have us understand. Too long I followed that old error, till God opened my eyes to see the truth. But when God gives birth to people, He gives birth to them with a new heart. Seeing that we're going in for dedicating babies and we'll have the joy of it in the future, if you go along to a clinic, you mothers, when you know your precious one perhaps is inside you, the first thing they'll listen for is to see whether there's a heartbeat there. That's right. They won't say, oh, it's got arms and legs, but it'll have to get another heart after it's born. You say, what crazy talk's this? That's the crazy thing we're expected to believe. Got a body but no heart. Where, oh where in the world, why was I so long blinded by that stupid talk? Till God opened my eyes to it. Praise Him. God starts at the heart. Amen. How near is your heart to Jesus' heart? I don't mean now in proximity. I don't mean now in geographical relationships. I'm not speaking of measurements. I'm speaking in likeness. How near is your heart to Jesus' heart? For this is the great truth. And so we go back into that wonderful chapter in Ezekiel. And in the great 36th chapter of Ezekiel, we read this most wondrous and precious truth, beloved. Now if you've got ears to hear whatever you do, understand. Now understand that there's nothing that from without you, outside of you, entering into your system, your human system, can defy you. There you are, all you medical people. Stop teaching us to scrub ourselves up to our elbows. Teach us how to live in the life of Christ. Stop teaching us how to wear masks. Teach us how to live in the words of Jesus. Do you believe what God says? Come on, all you nurses, medical people. Jesus says that nothing from without a man entering into a man can defile him. Do you believe Jesus? Come on. According to your faith, be it unto you. I knew a man once who believed it was wrong to eat pork. He'd got a lot of other ideas, very dear friend of mine, and quite a few from the church went along to this house supper, to a person's house one night, and they served up ham for supper. And he also believed, strangely enough, that you should eat what's set before you, so he was in a bit of a cleft stick. This is the stupid place you can get yourself into. So they said grace, and he ate it. But we'll say there were half a dozen there eating this pork. Sure enough, he was sick and bad. The others weren't. According to his faith, he believed that it would do it, and it did it. I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't dare joke about it. I know it has a humorous side to it. It's absolutely right. He was sick and bad. Next time I saw him, he was as white as a ghost. He stayed like it for about a week. But the others thought it was wonderful. Ezekiel 36. God is moving in his great new covenant, and this is what he says. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. Now mark you, it's an also, so we'd better see the benefits before that. Here it is. Glory. Verse 25. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I'll also give you a new heart. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. A new heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing? You see, this was the promise that was given in Isaiah. This is the great promise, beloved. If you go back to Isaiah and the end of chapter 52, and this is what we read. My servant, verse 13, oh, have a look at him, God's saying. Have a look at my servant. He'll deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Amen. Glory. This is him, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's servant for this. This great King of Kings, this God manifest on the earth, beloved. He's God's servant to us to do this thing. It's a most vital service. He must sprinkle you. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You know where that clean water came from, don't you? Eh? It came out of the side of the clean man. It flowed out with the pure and purifying blood. Earth had never touched it. It had been kept in the pure system of God. Not a spot, not an evil thought, not a sin, not a folly, not a mistake, not a disobedience, not an envy, not a jealousy, Not a look of pride. His eye was pure. Alleluia. His heart was pure. His blood was pure. And his water was pure. Amen. And so he sprinkles. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll sprinkle us, beloved. And there's a wonderful thing. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Hallelujah. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit. There you are. Heart and spirit are so closely joined. A man can only be born again when he's a regenerate spirit. But the regenerate spirit is given second. The new heart first. Then the regenerate spirit. Is that right or wrong? There's your Bible. It's not ours to believe what we want. It's ours to believe what it says. A new heart also will I give you. Glory. A new spirit. What's the use of putting a new spirit in an old heart? The old heart will defile and corrupt it. The old heart will bring it back to death. The old heart, beloved, will waste the handiwork of God. The old heart is far from him. Far from him. Hallelujah. But oh, he gives a new heart. Bless his wonderful name. A new spirit also will I give you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Amen. Oh, beloved. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, he says. I'll take it away. You don't know the joy I've had in saying that to so many, many, many people. I daren't even guess the number now. To say it to them individually as they sat perhaps talking to me, and some with tears streaming down their faces and confessing that their heart's wrong. Their heart is hard. Their heart is cold. Their heart can't respond. It can't love. I've had people sit in front of me and say, I can't love. I don't know how to love. I've never been able to love. Never since I was a girl. Never since I was a boy. I don't know how to love, they say. Praise God. And at that moment I said, Aaron, he'll take away that old stony heart outside that can't love, that's hard and unresponsive and can't be what God wants it to be. It can't have compassions in it. It can't love. It doesn't know tenderness. It doesn't know sweetness. Oh, it knows a lot about discipline. It knows a lot about criticism. It knows a lot about hardness. It knows how to be tough. It knows all sorts of things. But it doesn't know anything about the judge of God. It knows how to get on in the world. It knows how to make its headway in business. It knows how to fit in with politics. It knows how to fit in with the neighbor. It knows what to do in all the quarrels. But it doesn't got a clue. It hasn't got a clue. It's born ignorant and hard and knows nothing. Not a clue. God, in desperation, had to bring onto this earth a new heart in Jesus. A new man. From that heart came that manhood. From that heart came that life. In that heart dwelt that spirit. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. What a spirit. Oh, that heart that had absolutely new laws, it reacted differently. They said, we'll call down fire. Jesus said, you won't. Send them away! Thousands of them! Send them away! Send them away by the thousands, says the old heart. It's the sensible thing to do. No shops in the desert. Nothing to feed them with. Jesus said, they need the path. They hadn't got a clue. Not a clue. Give you them to eat, he said. And at that moment they knew they'd got nothing, only their hard, stony, unbelieving, indifferent hearts. That is indifferent to the real needs of a smoking flax that had smoked there away under the tender words of Jesus, and then they were going to crush it. Go on, go home. Go on. They were going to put out that first smouldering desire that was beginning to burn in someone's heart. As two of them had to confess on the Emmaus Road, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, he said, make them sit down. Don't send them away. Make them sit down. And they didn't know. Their hearts were far from him. A surprising enough thing, beloved, and I suppose this ought to make the weak, that he used them to feed the others. He used these men with hard hearts to feed other people with hard hearts too. But it was his bread. it had come from him. That's why one hard heart can hand out bread to another hard heart. Because it comes from Jesus. You see. It's a wonder anybody's saved with the hard hearts there are handing out bread. That's right. But glory be to God. He says, I'll give you a new heart. Bless him. I'll take away the stony heart right out. Come on, beloved. Don't you want that? Don't you want him to take it away? Wouldn't you give everything to get rid of your hard, stony heart? Wouldn't you give everything? Listen, God gave everything. God gave everything that it might be so. I'll put my spirit within you. Verse 27. I'll put my spirit within you. Oh, hallelujah. How simple this is. Beloved, you're in this room tonight. I want to tell you that the easy, straight, and simple way into all this precious life of God in Christ is laid bare before you here. I'll cleanse you. I'll cleanse you from all your idols, all your sins, all your filthinesses, your adultery, your fornications, your lewdnesses, your deceitfulness, your lasciviousness, the evil eye of you. I'll wash even the look of you. I'll wash the glance of you. I'll make you so pure that thing that you can't even put your finger on, just a look. I'll even deal with that. I'll deal with the look. You say, well, this is wonderful. This is what I want. You can have it. It's a gift. It's all a gift. It's all so free. And this is what he says. This is the glory of it. Listen, he says, you'll dwell in the land, verse 28, that I gave to your fathers. Praise
praise God.
You'll dwell in the land like a... Where do I find that? Oh, you say Canaan? Nay, not a bit of it. I look into the Acts of the Apostles for this, not Joshua. Hallelujah. Where my father's well. Oh, Paul said you can have 10,000 teachers, but I'm your father. I go back to where Father Paul dwelt. This is the land I want to live in. This is the land. A pen that could write this. Listen. Though I speak with the tongues of men, not that I want to, he said he was doing it. He said he was doing it, though I do it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if I haven't got love, I'm nothing. Listen, this is the land to dwell in. Oh, this land, you know what it is, don't you? It's not Canaan, it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. This is where our fathers dwelt, beloved, with new hearts in them, new spirits in them. They came new out of the womb of God. They came new, precious, glorious creatures. I behold them upon the pages of the Acts of the Apostles. I pore over the precious words that fell from their lips and flowed to their pens. Under the same spirit, I live in their epistles. I hear old John saying, beloved, let's love one another. Love is of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There it is. Well, you can go through it. Love never fails. Love beareth all things. Doesn't say, oh, she's weeping after, send her away. Get rid of these 5,000. I must get my QT. Oh, this modern tradition of the elders, you can read about it in Matthew chapter 7. Tradition of the elders. Jesus never said anything about getting a QT. Even if all the experts have written books about it. Quiet time. Read 14 verses of scripture or something like that and you've had it. Now don't let any man, well, you will know I live with the book in my hand and in my heart. Don't let any man think I'm turning you off this, but the traditions of the elders won't save a sprat, neither will they keep you anywhere near where Jesus wants you to be. They were keeping all that, he said, but your heart's a long, long way away from me. Glory. Oh, to be like him. We were singing this afternoon. And he said, you'll dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. This is what he said. He gathered them all round him. These great fathers of the fathers in God, if I may use this term. And this is what he said. Now don't you be afraid, little flock. It's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, that was the land. Gave them the kingdom. They lived in the kingdom of God. Days of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. They lived in here. God had taken away the stony heart out of their flesh. Not out of their imaginings. Not out of their books sort of thing. And the poems they like to read. God took the stony heart right out of them as they were inside those bodies there. Right out. Hallelujah. He gave them hearts of flesh according to that flesh that Jesus said, you must eat my flesh because of the heart that beat inside. And they had a heart like Jesus. When did you receive that? When did you receive it? It's a gift. It's a gift, beloved. Oh, a new spirit. I'll give you a new spirit. Will it be wonderful? If only you could have a new spirit about. Hey? If only you could. If there was a different air about you. Hey? A sort of a different flavor about you. If you had a different effect on people. This is it. This is the new spirit. Hallelujah. When God has changed it. Oh, and then he says, now, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is what it talks about, being sealed with the Spirit. That's what God seals with his Holy Spirit. He will seal a new heart and seal a new spirit. And he won't seal anything else. He won't have his monogram upon it. It won't seal it. It's not of God. That's what he seals with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He'll seal a new heart. This is it. This is it. When I talk about being witnesses unto me, that's what I mean. Got my heart. Got my You're a new man. This is what I do. You're a testimony to me now. I can take you any place. See? This is what I do. New heart. New spirit. Sealed up. You can't interfere with it. Hallelujah. It's mine. Didn't come from man. Didn't come from traditions of the elders. Didn't come from the traditions of Paul. Didn't come from the traditions of John. Came from the great tradition of heaven, I suppose. That's how God begets Son. He sends his only begotten Son. And every other son's got to be begotten like him. That's the tradition. That's the principle. That's the spirit. That's the power. Do I sound to be talking wrong to you? Speak up, brother, sister. If you think I'm talking wrong, speak up. I'll listen to you. We'll all listen to you. Isn't this common sense, even?
Common sense.
That's right, my dear sister. It is common sense. Thank you, sister. It's God's common sense. God's got the common sense to know. He cannot make a Christian out of an old heart. He cannot make a son of God out of an old spirit. He can't do it. God can't do it. If he could, he would have had some chap named Moses crucified. Oh, he would have had, let's have a John Baptist. If he could have done it, but he couldn't do it with Moses, and he couldn't do it with John Baptist, and he couldn't do it with David. He couldn't do it with anybody. He couldn't even do it with Paul. If Paul wanted to go to the cross, he had to say, I've got to be crucified with Jesus. That's right. It's Christ. And God sent him down here and had him mangled and torn apart and crucified and everything, so that all men should know that they can be made new creatures. That's what it's all about. You see, beloved, because it's out of the heart that it all comes. Your thought life comes out of your heart. Don't you separate your mind from your heart. Never do it again. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. It doesn't mind. You can have some thoughts injected into you, but that's not what you're thinking. And when the Lord Jesus was speaking, let's go back to the great fourth chapter of John. Let's go back to this great fourth chapter of John. Let's understand our Bibles. Let's see through the mystery of its language. Let's know what God is saying. Let's see whether God is even sensible so that rational beings should believe him. I find God most rational. Easily. And when I get to the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, I find Jesus meeting a woman at the well. I find that he plumbs the depths of her heart, doesn't he? That's right. And then he says to her, if you knew, verse 10, the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, it was the man with the new heart. It was the Son of God with a new spirit. Amen. It's talking. If you knew the gift of God, and God was wanting to give her a new heart and a new spirit, if you knew the gift of God, he said, you'd ask of me. I give you living water. And this is what he says in 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But now listen. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. That's it. What springs up out of my heart? All the thought life of me. I've got everlasting life. I'm being flooded with new thoughts. What do you think Jesus is talking about? It's these things that spring up inside, isn't it? Involuntarily. That you have no control over. This is the real life. The real life is that which you have no control over. Not that which you discipline and try to bring into subjection. It's this involuntary thing that makes me alive. And I was dead in the filth of the old. Now I'm alive in the new springing water inside me. It's still the clean water. It sprinkles me, floods me, flows through me. It's the river of Ezekiel, as sure as we're here, brother. It's the river of Ezekiel. And you see, beloved, here's the great mystery unfolded. It springs up inside me, just like you say these terrible thoughts do. That's right, you've got the wrong spring. You've never drunk of Jesus yet. Now, I'm not saying that some of you haven't done and got yourself mixed and muddled up again. Well, come back and get renewed. I'm not saying you never have. That's not what I'm saying. I'm dealing with first and fundamental things. So I was talking to a lot of people that didn't know and never had heard. And maybe, perhaps you've never heard it just like this. And this is the goodness of God to you, to gather you together that you should hear it and know that when Jesus gives a drink, he gives it with all his heart. He gives it with all his spirit. He knew he couldn't give the Holy Ghost until he'd poured out his heart and his soul unto death. And knew he couldn't give a new spirit until he'd kept his own spirit intact from sin and had wafted it back to his Father, that his Father may give it to me, that I may have the Spirit of Christ. And I'm born again, a new Christ spirit, to live a wonderful Jesus life, fountaining up from the inside of me, not being stoked up by reading passages of scriptures, not by being stoked up by reading, I won't say all your favourite authors, they might be on the bookstall and Roy would be after me. There. That's how I knew I was new. That's how I knew. That's how I knew, beloved. I didn't know till then. I knew the Bible said it before that. But then I knew it. It had happened. I got a new heart. And you see, all those former things about, you know, somebody said something, so I said, oh, you see, that didn't happen anymore. I've got a new heart. I didn't get weary and fed up with people. People have said to me, I expect you get fed up and weary and sick and tired of us, don't you? Keep coming to you. I say, no. No, that's truth. That's truth. Glory, glory. Or only want to go away and get a quiet time? No. Do you, Norman? This man was going to shove himself in a monastery because he thought that was the way once upon a time. Nay, Jesus lived up out there in the crowds, a spontaneous welling life inside. He did spend nights in prayer with God. But he didn't live on a scripture union portion. No, did he? Come on. He'd never heard of Graham Scroggie. And he'd never heard of a chap named North either. Except that I suppose he's known me from all eternity. But I want him to know me with a name Jesus written across my forehead, because I've got a heart of Jesus inside me. He don't write Jesus on filthy hearts. Nay, he doesn't. A Jesus heart, a Jesus spirit, his glorious spirit. Beloved, look, stop trying to make do and mend. If you've been on the wrong leg, come and start here. Come and start here, my beloved brother and sister. Let me give you a big kiss and invite you to Jesus. Let me hold out my arms to you and say, come. Come, the waters that first ran as a trickle out of his side have gathered volume. They're flowing in mighty torrents, beloved. Amen. He laid down his life and took it up again, and that concerning which he gave the first inklings of dropping blood and dripping water now is taken up in the full glory of his messianic office. And he's there, beloved, and the waters are flowing, and the blood is flowing, and the heart is beating, and the Spirit is waiting, and the Holy Ghost is hovering upon us, and the call goes out, and he stands ready to give you a new heart. He stands ready to take away the old one right outside and take it right away. If you've never had it, my friend, if you're resting in a hope so or a think so, can I give you an invitation tonight to come? He'll give you a new heart. You won't get it for struggling. You won't get it for putting your fingers in your ears, because Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, hear, hearken, understand. God, give us understanding now. We need to understand whence and how and what it's all about. It isn't some light passing of the Spirit upon you, enabling you to speak a few words in another tongue. Paul said he spoke in tongues of men and angels. I sometimes think I do. But that's not the important thing. It's whether you've allowed this precious one to come and consult at the well of iniquity and that sinkhole of all filthy thoughts inside. Whether you've allowed him to come and sit down and go back into the things you push down into your subconscious and your unconscious and you've sought to forget, like the woman at the well. And when the Lord Jesus began to reveal it to her, she says, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. I perceive you're a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was the one that was shortly going to tear his breast apart, that his lovely heart may be taken out and given to her. Yeah. When did that ever happen to you? This will tell you about the irregularities in your life. This will tell you why, above your best intentions, you cannot be what you want to be. This will reveal to you this great defiling path that swept across your mind so regularly. This will explain these pictures that focus upon the imagination of the heart that shock you. They laid off the demons. Somebody came to me, has been to me over this weekend and said, "Oh, I've got a demon because of this, that and the other." Now listen, beloved, I want to tell you, there are awful and rotten and filthy demons. But the human heart itself is a pit of sin. The human spirit itself will manufacture and fountain up through the irresistible means and by the principles of sin with which you were born. It will fountain up out of the worst and lowest of your background of human heredity. It'll come, and it's gathered all the filth that's been picked up since the Garden of Eden. Yes, and it's there, and it'll fountain it all up inside you. And somebody will say, "Go and see a psychiatrist," or somebody will say, "Go and get some devils cast out of you, and come to Jesus, and he'll take away the spirit, your own spirit outside of you. He'll take that away and give you a new." And then he'll put the Holy Spirit inside and he'll say, "Now see what fountains up there. Now see what fountains up there. Glory. Oh, the thoughts and the imaginings. Oh, the sweetness. Oh, the tenderness. Oh, the tears. Oh, the love. Oh, the purity." This is truth. So just like that heart inside goes on night and day, so this, where there is no night and all is day forever. Glory. And you'll be in the realm, and you'll move in the kingdom of God, and you'll dwell in the land where your fathers dwelt, and he'll save you from all uncleannesses, and he'll cause you to walk in his statutes. He'll make you to keep his laws. He'll make you like it. And then, beloved, you'll delight yourself in this land of glory. This is the great promise of God. New hearts for old. New spirits for old. The Holy Ghost, that great third person of the Trinity, from heaven himself, whom you've never known. He will come, and he will abide in you forever. Even the Spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father, now. Amen and amen. Come on, beloved. We're here to bless one another, love one another. We're here that God should deal with hearts and spirits. We're here that God should deal with the uncontrollable springs inside. We're here that God should deal with these great conflicts, these wars, these fightings. We're here that God should do it. "I will give," he said. "I will give. You shall," he says. "You shall. You'll be the continuation of God's will. I will, you shall. You shall is the flowing river. I will is the constant source. You will be the continuation of the I will. Your life will go on. The shall is the river of the will. It is the promise enlarged. It is the glory of God brought through to its fullness. You come, beloved. If you know that God has to give you a new heart, come on, my brother, and come on, my sister, and let God deal with you. Hallelujah. Let Him take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Let Him give you the heart of flesh.